This week is one of the most important events of the year for the local NAACP chapter, when they raise thousands of dollars for scholarships and other youth programs. If the goal is to create future leaders of color, their keynote speaker is proof of what's possible. It's Jamel Santa Cruz Wright, the president of Eureka College. She's the first woman and first African-American to hold that job. Wright spoke to WGLT student reporter Tiffany Jackson about the challenges facing higher education and the importance of being the first.
Things at Eureka are going very well. I'm starting my fourth year as president there, my sixth year total being in Eureka, and things at the college are booming. Last year, we had three national news stories, all positive, so that's really a sign of how well we're doing. One of those stories was about the power of the personal, which Eureka College does very well. It was the young lady who's from New Orleans, Louisiana, who received 116 acceptances and nearly $4 million in scholarship monies, who actually chose Eureka College of those 116.
Wow.
So that was, yes, absolutely amazing. And it was all because of the little personal touch of a phone call to her and her family that I made. So things are going very well. That those three national news stories are indicative of that for us.
So you are the first woman and first African-American president of Eureka College overall. How has holding the title of being the first defined you and your legacy there?
It is very interesting because I am still very much in awe and humbled by the opportunity to be the first female and the first African-American president at this very fine, fantastic, and small institution in Central Illinois. And it is unbelievable, yet it is very fitting. This is a college whose history and roots would reflect this type of first moment, a college founded by abolitionists in 1855, and the first college in the state of Illinois and the third in the nation to admit men and women equally. So that's the history of Eureka College. And so fast forward to now and my presidency, and it's just another piece of a fantastic tapestry of amazing history of this little small college in Central Illinois.
So there aren't many Black women leading American colleges and universities. How did you get to this point?
A lot of hard work and a lot of prayer. So, it doesn't happen. I will tell you, some of the things that I will pass along also for at the event that's coming up, the NAACP Freedom Fund banquet, is never being afraid to ask for help. I had a lot of help along the way. That's the true answer, is helping people, lifting me up and pulling me up and helping me in my time of need, or even when I was afraid to say that I was in need, God putting it on their hearts to just offer me a word of encouragement. So having help, being able to ask for help, and always being open to expanding my network of mentors and friends and advisors is also very important. So because you never know, who a king or queen might be, so you always have to treat everyone as if they are. And that is definitely a philosophy and approach that I have adopted and embraced over the course of my life. And I think that has done me well. So it's really about other people. So that's why I just, anytime I have an opportunity or I'm asked to speak to a group, I'm always happy to do that, because so many people have helped me that I would not be able to pay them back in any other way, right, other than offering words of encouragement to others. But, there's no way that I can pay back all the people who've done things for me, yeah, other than being in this position. So I'm very grateful for the opportunity, but it's all about asking for help and expanding that network of advisors and mentors and supporters along the way.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
And staying prayed up.
So you're working in higher education, and the recruiting environment has been challenging over the past few years, mm-hmm, because, college is expensive and people are moving out of Illinois overall. So what have you done or planned to do in order to retain the student enrollment?
So you're absolutely right. And actually, Tiffany, Illinois, the state of Illinois, is the second largest exporter of students, just only second to New Jersey in terms of the numbers of students. So students in Illinois, unfortunately, are leaving at a significantly higher rate than most states, across the country. And all of our institutions are having to grapple with that very challenging statistic. And it looks like it's only going to continue to decline, at least through 2025. So
wow.
what we're we're doing, I know it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing to see that sharp of a decline happening. So one of the things, of course, that we're doing that a lot of other colleges and universities do in terms of on the new student end is really looking at recruiting students in other states. Some of our neighboring states, Lord knows that they are taking our students left and right. So we are making sure that we're trying to stay competitive with some of those other states. But mainly, I think, is making sure that we continue to differentiate ourselves. We have some really great and amazing programs that we continue to offer. And also establishing strategic partnerships is very important, and always continuing to enhance the student experience. In order to keep students, we all have to understand that students aren't just recruited on the front end, but we have to continue to recruit them once they arrive in order to keep them satisfied and retained. And we also have to make sure that our wraparound support is very strong, which ours is at Eureka, because we have a significant percentage of first generation college students at Eureka. And any given year, it's over 50% of our student body is first generation. And we know and understand that not just for the first generation students, but for all of our students, those retention and persistence efforts have to be ongoing and continuous. And it can't just be one thing that we do. It's multiple touches as it pertains to retention and persistence. So we've added quite a few additional touches over the last few years, and we have definitely seen some of the positive results of that on the retention and persistence side.
So how diverse is Eureka's student body today? Do you have any goals as to where you would like for it to be in the future?
Absolutely. So we want to continue to increase the diversity of all types. So we have inclusive excellence efforts on our campus. As of today, we're about 20% of our students are racial and ethnic minorities. Okay. But we also have veteran students on our campus. We also, I mean, students who represent the rainbow of possibility as it pertains to diversity. And so our inclusive excellence efforts have been ongoing and pretty consistent over the last several years. And we've made sure to pay particular attention to ensuring that, again, not only do we ensure access, but that we also ensure success of those students, so we're not just bringing them in year after year and losing them. I was really glad to hear, if I can do a, President Dietz and I are friends, and so kudos to Illinois State for bringing in its most diverse class that it's seen in many, many years. And we all, as institutions in the state of Illinois, need to have our eyes on that particular prize.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Tiffany Jackson. I'm speaking with Dr. Jamel Santa Cruz Wright, the president at Eureka College. She's the keynote speaker at Friday's NAACP Freedom Fund Banquet in Bloomington. We're also joined by Willie Halbert, the Freedom Fund Banquet Chair. Dr. Wright, what's the message that you hope to deliver at Friday's event?
Is it fair to say you have to come and see? I want them to be sold out. I want it to be a packed house, Willie.
All right.
I want
my sentiment exactly.
It is, yes. You know, the theme is about keeping the momentum going. Mm-hmm. And so what I can guarantee you is that I will definitely share some thoughts about why keeping the momentum going is important. Mm-hmm. And how I think we need to continue to build alliances in order to do that. And I will also talk about something that hopefully all of us who are in these types of positions delivering keynote addresses are talking about more, which is the importance of self-care. This work can be very daunting, and it can wear on you tremendously. Mm-hmm. So self-care is so critically important. So I will touch upon those things as I talk about the theme of keeping the momentum going. But I look forward to seeing everyone there, smiles, all dressed up, with definitely a place to go on that evening, right, Willie?
Absolutely.
Yes, ma'am. Looking forward to it. So for Ms. Halbert, what inspired the creation of this event, and why is it important to your organization to have overall?
The Freedom Fund Banquet is basically based upon the concept of freedom. Freedom from all people, from all walks of life. And what we do, it is our major fundraiser to be able to give thousands of dollars in scholarship to other young people. We were able to give over $10,000 this year. I mean, imagine to students, well, you know, as a student, how much that would mean. Each student received $1,000. But, you know, that sounds like a lot, but there's so much more to do. It also deals with the work or the fight of freedom. Everything, we think of freedom being free, but really there's a lot of work, and it costs for that freedom, and it costs of our time, our effort, bringing people together and acknowledging that there is work to be done, that we do need to keep the momentum going. The national theme for the NAACP at the conference this past a few months ago was, when we fight, we win. Mm-hmm. So when everybody comes together and we fight together, the results is we will win. We will be successful. So that's what the Freedom Fund Banquet brings everybody together. We have almost all the universities have tables, and the school districts, and also many people within the community. We have young people. We always try to engage our youth in anything that we do, because they are today, not tomorrow.
So was there a specific reason why you all decided to ask Dr. Wright to become the chosen keynote speaker of the event?
Number one, listen to her speak. It stands on its own merit. She's such an outstanding and wonderful individual. Just my sitting here, listening to her speak about her life journey and some of the principles that she stands for, it's making me more excited. I was already excited, but now I'm even more excited to hear her. And nothing but accolades about her journey. I love the concept of partnering and sharing and realizing that we all need help. And I think that is within itself is a big message to share.
Absolutely.
That we can't do it of ourselves. But when one partner joins with another, mm-hmm. and we all come together and not look at each other as hindering each other, mm-hmm. instead helping one another along, that's what really makes a difference. Being the first woman, first African-American, it makes you wonder, well, why Dr. Wright? You know, I'm sure you probably have asked yourself that question, too.
I ask
too.
God that every week,
yes,
at least once.
Yes. So, you know, acknowledging her humbleness and just her authority in how she speaks and how she gets the work done, because we all have a journey. But from listening to her speak, I see that there is the only result is success. And when you have a vision and you look at it from that perspective, you can't help but be successful. So I'm excited. The NAACP, the community have rallied around, and we're looking for a wonderful evening.
How important is it for people to see such a locally significant institution being led by a woman of color?
I believe it is very important. Number one, people still have this idea of what a president looks like, what qualities should they possess. And as much as we hate to admit it, many people do not see women in that role. They still see a woman at home taking care of the children, providing. Yes, she can work, but only limited positions. So to see that you have a young lady who have achieved those goals and have kind of broke through that glass ceiling, mm-hmm. and said, no, you cannot, I cannot be defined. And really, that's the message that I would share with people is, don't allow others to define who you are.
Right.
You know, you can achieve, you can do as much as you can desire to do, and even beyond that, don't just meet your expectation, exceed them. So that's the message that I give, is exceed those goals. Don't settle for status quo. You know, don't let someone else define who you are. You're not defined by that person, because as she stated, you got to have thick skin,
mm-hmm.
because you're going to get comments. Everybody has an opinion on how things are be done, what you should do, what you shouldn't do. I went into the field of criminal justice. You know, I was assistant superintendent for the entire state of Illinois, predominantly male orientated. But yet I did not allow that to define who I am or what I wanted to accomplish. I looked at the need. And I believe if you're passionate about what you do, you're not going to allow others. That no is your stepping stone to your yes.
Yeah. When you have a person, or if you meet a person who has, you know, experienced a lot of doubts in their area that they're pursuing, what advice would you give them to stay on track and not fall off to those positions of, you know, this might not be for me, or, you know, self-doubt?
You know, that's why I would ask your the listeners out there, Miss Tiffany, who maybe they, as you said, maybe they can't make the Freedom Fund banquet, but they may want to figure out how they can be supportive of this effort. It really is important that they maybe support youth, that they say, hey, I'll purchase a couple of tickets for a couple of young people to come. And young people, I include everybody all the way through college students who are young people, because being in a room of people of all races, ages, experiences, you know, that it's something motivating about that you can take away with you. And so when you find yourself getting trapped in that vortex of negativity that sometimes people try to have swirl around you, then it's remembering being in that room and embracing what it means to be in that type of space where people are really rallying around you. It's the true definition of that village that you have of support for people to really pull you up and uplift you in the community.
That's Eureka College President Dr. Jamel Santa Cruz Wright, the keynote speaker at Friday's NAACP Freedom Fund Banquet in Bloomington. She was joined in studio by Freedom Fund Banquet Chair Willie Halbert. I'm Tiffany Jackson.
You can buy tickets for Friday's Freedom Fund Banquet at bnnaacp.org. This is Sound Ideas.